Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to read verse 3. And if you take notes, I've entitled the message, Rest in Peace. Rest in Peace, R.I.P. And as Tom just read, there's Psalm 91 is a very, very crucial psalm to peace. It shows that trusting in God is how you get that peace. And Isaiah backs that up in our text. Thus saith the Lord, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. Before we look at this text, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We come to you again, Spirit of God, in thanksgiving for all of your word, but especially, Lord, the idea that there is a peace that passes all understanding. There's a peace that only comes to us through trusting you. And as we open this word up, we do pray, God, that you would open our minds and hearts to it. And if there is one listening who knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, pray that today you might be willing to call them or stir them. And for the rest of us, Lord, open up our hearts to it. And whatever's needed, peace, edification, comfort, conviction, whatever's needed, Lord, we pray that through the preaching of your word, you would minister to us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think I've said this 100 times, but ever since my conversion in 1997, I've often thought it very strange that people who could never find peace in this life are given the epitaph on their tombstone, R.I.P., rest in peace. I always thought that was very strange. And I thought it was strange because they must have thought that death, once a death claims somebody, once that happens, now they can rest in peace. Now the troubles of the world are over. They don't have to suffer anymore. All of that's done. They fail to realize that we are eternal people. We are spiritually eternal people. We have a temporal life and we have a spiritual life. And for those who know Christ, we have a spiritual life in this world and in the next world with a body. Unfortunately, those people outside of Christ don't understand that. They think that once they leave this world, their problems are over. That's fake news. That's fake news. It's not true at all. First of all, let me just say this, that the only real lasting peace in this world, the only peace in this world is peace through Jesus Christ, period. The war between you and God was over the very moment God quickened you, showed you who he was, caused you to repent of your sins, adopted you into his family. At that point, you are a candidate for peace. Before that, no. The truth is, if you don't find rest and peace in this life, you certainly are not going to find it in the next life. You're not going to find it. God says on Judgment Day, those who reject Jesus Christ will be rejected by him in eternity. The last words, those people who leave this world without Jesus Christ, the last word they're going to hear, they're numbing, bone-numbing words of Matthew 25:41, where Jesus told those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, there are people who don't believe in hell. They believe just in heaven. I call that a convenient religion because that's what it is. It's everybody wins. It's like everybody has the winning lotto number and everybody gets $10 billion. It's not, that's fake news as well. It's not true. There are many reasons many, many reasons why there's no peace in this lost world. And if you don't think there's, if you think there's peace in this world, I would challenge you to show it. Where is it? It's nowhere. It's nowhere on this planet. And quite frankly, it's never been anywhere on this planet. Man has constantly wanted to kill each other, all because of the fall. People know God's wrath's on them. That's why there's no peace. The Bible makes that abundantly clear in John 3:36. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And we know that's true. We know that's true because everybody outside of Christ has no peace because they're all worried about the same enemy. They have an enemy. The enemy is death. Because they know something's going on and they don't know what it is. They don't want to think it's God, but something's going on. And that is the wrath of God on those souls. It was on you and I as well. We didn't look at it like that. I didn't look at it like that. It was just, well, you know what? You're going to die. That's it. We're over with. Boom. No. And they know there's an afterlife. Again, God gives us that. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that eternity is imprinted on man's heart. The peace the world knows. Now, they claim to have peace, but that peace is limited to circumstances. It's a temporal peace. And what happens to circumstances in our lives? What happened to your life this year? What changed in your life? Was your life continually the same throughout the year? No. Things always change. Financial things change. Emotional things change. Physical things change. Medical things change. Everything changes. And when it changes, our peace follows that in the same way. It's temporal. And when life changes, the peace people have changes, or it disappears completely. Another reason a lost soul can't rest in peace is because their conscience hasn't been freed from the spirit of guilt and maybe shame. People don't forgive. I didn't forgive before I was saved. I said I did. They don't forgive each other. Truly forgive each other. That means I forgive you for what you did to me, and I'll never come up again in my mind or my heart, and I'll never hold anything against you because of that. That's unconditional forgiveness. I've seen it a couple of times. I was watching a court show, and a woman's son was killed by his friend, and she asked if she could address the court, and she did. And she told him that she forgave him. She forgave him for killing her son. And then she promised him, because he was a youngster himself, he promised him that when he got out of prison, and she asked the judge to make that to not make that a long time, that she wanted to adopt him. That is forgiveness. And the reason it was on television is because it was so abnormal in an unforgiving world. People don't forgive, nor do they forget. Any sinner who hasn't been forgiven by God, if you're listening to this and you haven't been forgiven by God, you haven't formally went up to him and asked him to forgive you of your sin and meant it, you carry the memories of sin throughout your life. We talked about that this morning in our Bible study. You are entangled with your sins. Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught up in the cords of his sin. You never forget him. We were talking this morning about trauma that happens in our life and how it's always there. We always seem to bring it up, or something in the world will bring it up, and we're constantly going back to it. That's entanglement. You're entangled with it. Now, the lost may hide the guilt of their sin, but at some point, something in this world will trigger it, and any peace that they had is gone. That's how temporary peace is. The reason people carry around a guilty conscience is because they know their sins are not forgiven. All of us have done things that we know we shouldn't have done. And even if the person forgives us or says they forgive us, either we don't believe them or we don't care. We want to feel guilty about it, and we keep it. Imagine that. We keep it. Keep things that hurt you. That's why they don't have any peace. And I am now talking about people that are lost. But there are believers who do exactly the same thing. And we talked about that in our Bible study this morning. That's why Isaiah 48:22 says very clearly, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Those outside of Christ, there's no peace. And what he's referring to is a solid peace, an unconditional peace. It's not there. The only peace the world knows is limited and conditional and temporary. And for the record, anyone who rejects Christ, in God's eyes, they are wicked. That's what that term means, regardless of how good they think they are. There are many people who say, you know, I'm not as bad as Joe Blow over there, or I'm a good person. I give people money. I help them do this. I give to the, all of that. Poppycock. The Bible says that man's righteousness is as filthy rags. And Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's why they don't have any peace. And Isaiah 59 says, "The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace." You understand that? Now, let me tell you, there's an application to that. And here's the application. Knowing what I just said to you, I quoted God as saying to the world and to us in particular, gives you a better understanding of why the world is so crazy. It should give you a better understanding of why things are happening the way they are. There's no forgiveness in the world. There's no peace in the world. There's nothing in the world that has to do with peace. All men, all today, as I see it, all things today have to do with emptying your pocketbooks of your money and killing each other. That's what it's about in the 21st century, in my view. Feel free to disagree with that. Peace. The lost imagine they have any peace that anybody thinks they have is flawed. In the back of their mind, they absolutely know eternity is only one heartbeat away. That's how far it is to all of us, but to them in particular. Hebrews 9:27 is absolutely buried in every human mind. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, Vinny, the judgment. Once a person is old enough to reach the age of accountability, as it is, and understand what death is, they have an overwhelming fear. But have you ever noticed little babies don't fear death? But as soon as they understand what it is, they all have a fear of it. The Bible calls it the last great enemy. And Jesus Christ died and became victorious over by resurrecting from the dead. And all those who are in Christ share in that victory. Those outside of Christ do not share in that victory. If you die without Christ, then that simply means there'll be a second death. And that second death is talked about in Revelation 20, 13 through 15, where those whose names were not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, interpretation, those who were not saved by Jesus Christ, They were thrown into the lake of fire. No peace there at all. Death is the enemy. Their fear is a natural fear. And you know why it's a natural fear? Why man naturally fears death? Because that's exactly what happened in the fall in Eden. Adam died to God. And then he ultimately died physically as well. The fear of death was implanted in man when Adam hid from God in the garden. In Genesis 3:10, he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He knew, just like the world knows today. That's why there's no peace. And in Genesis 3:19, God sentenced man to both spiritual and physical death. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And it was from the fall in the garden and Adam's death to God and his physical death that's been transferred like original sin to every member of the human race that belongs to Adam, his progeny. When you were saved as a Christian, you were transferred out of that kingdom to a new federal head in Jesus Christ, and now that doesn't apply to you. You will never die, ever. You'll leave your body here, and you'll get it back in a perfect state. The Bible says blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the flesh hasn't been regenerated and neither has the blood. But the very moment Jesus Christ comes, the resurrection of the body's coming. When that happens, you'll get the same body back with no blood in it and no flesh in it, in a sense being of it being imperfect. The body you get will be perfect in every sense. They don't have that now. They don't have that now. The result is the loss. It's called the natural man has a great fear of meeting their creator. They have a great fear of meeting their creator exactly the same way Adam did when he hid from him. It's for these reasons the lost in this world will never, absolutely never, have anything better than a short, conditional peace. And if they die without Christ, this is the best life they're ever going to have. I have told people that. People who have rejected Christ, I've said to them, I pray that you enjoy every single breath you take, that you do everything that you need to do, because this is the best life you're ever going to have. And may God save your soul so that you will see that there's another life that's far better, indescribably different than this life, that's available to you if you want it. If you're listening to this morning, what are you doing not knowing Christ? Why? What benefits do you find in the world today for yourself? And the only thing, believe it or not, the only thing that's stopping you from coming to Christ is your sin. All you have to do is say, you know what? I've had enough of this. I want eternal life. I don't want to die in this world and then go into hell when I leave this world. Come to Christ. Amen. Right where you're sitting, all you have to do, or listening, all you have to do is have a repentive heart, is realize that God sent his son on that cross as a symbol of his love for you and his hatred for your sin. And that cross paid that sin debt for you forever. I'll never be charged for any of the sins I ever committed. I commit in the present, or I'll commit in the future. They're all done. Now you know why I can have peace. And if you don't have that, what do you have? That's what I want you to think about. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you think about this. You think about what you have. You think about how great your life is. You think about how you're taking your life and you think you're running it. How are you doing with that? And when life gets really tough and you start bleeding all over the place, either emotionally or physically, who's going to be there for you? Who's your daddy then? Who is he? You got none. Oh, yeah, you do. John 8:44 says you are of your father, the devil, and it's his will you want to do. Because if you reject Christ, then you have to take the other one. There's only two daddies, only two fathers, spiritual fathers, Satan or God. You choose. And then you think about what that choice means down the road. You think about it. If that's you, then you feel God stirring your heart. If you feel the need or the want to know the truth and to let that truth set you free, if that's you, you call me or see me, and I'll show you how God wants to give you one of those crosses. He wants to, first of all, end the war with you. He wants to stop the hostilities. He wants to take his wrath off in you. And he wants to give you the peace that the Bible talks about that you've never had before in your life. And I don't care what you have. I don't care what you can afford to do or not do. It doesn't matter. It's never going to bring you peace, ever. Nothing in this universe will bring you peace but the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is have a repentant heart and ask him to forgive you. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, I say it every Sunday, those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see me if you have a question about that. Now let's look at our text. Now, first of all, I'll tell you that our text is reserved. It's reserved for those whose mind is stayed on God and trusts in him. That simply means it's reserved for God's elect chosen people. The world cannot take this verse and use it. They can read it. They can imagine what it means. But only somebody who knows Christ as their Savior and has the mind of Christ, only they can get the blessings of that peace. The first section of the text, we see the promise, you will keep him in perfect peace. That term, perfect peace, doesn't refer to a temporary feeling. Now you got to remember something. What is peace? Peace is an emotion. Peace is a feeling. And the peace that we're talking about here is not a temporary emotion or a temporary feeling. This is a eternal peace and a non-conditional peace. It's an abiding principle that helps the elect deal with life. That's what this peace is for. It's an abiding principle. What does that word abiding mean? It means it lives in you. Listen, peace needs a home. Peace without a home is nothing. Peace is only peace when it lives inside a born-again believer. That's what gives it life. You give peace life, and peace gives you life. That's the wonderfulness of God. And to be clear, peace, perfect peace, is not the promise there won't be any suffering. I have to say, in my life, I have suffered more emotionally, maybe not physically, but emotionally, I have suffered more as a Christian than I ever suffered as a non-Christian. And I was a non-Christian till I became saved when I was 49. So for 49 years, I never felt the emotional suffering that I felt as a Christian. And I dare say, I have never had anything in my life help me to grow stronger, straighter, and better than suffering as a Christian. Nothing in my life before Christ, nothing did anything like that for me. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean you won't suffer. It's not a promise of success or a promise of prosperity on earth. That's not what that peace is. But it is a promise of an inward peace which will help you handle and bear any burden or adversity you have in your life. What's that worth? Think about that. A peace that helps you through every adversity and every burden in your life. You have peace. I told you a story. I'll tell it again because it's appropriate. One day I was out somewhere about 30 miles from my home. My car caught on fire, and I didn't care. Everybody else around me is all going nuts, and I'm taking my foot and kicking some sand into the wheels. The brakes were on fire. I just was kicking. I don't care. Why? It wasn't my car. It was God's car, number one, and that happened for a reason. And one of the reasons was I would tell you that story 30 times because everybody else would be upset. We had our neighbor just this past week. We're sitting down watching a little television. All of a sudden, the shades are closed, and all of a sudden, I see these red shadows. And I look out, and there's like three fire trucks, an ambulance, a police car, right in front of my house. My next door neighbor's chimney caught on fire. Okay, and it's important to understand that when things happen, you have to take care of them, but you don't have to lose your peace in the process. That's the secret. That's the secret to the term I care, but I don't care. I care because my car was on fire and I needed to get home, but I didn't care because I knew God did it for a reason and he would get me home. You understand? You can't lose peace. If you have God's peace, there's nothing should shake that. Nothing. That's the whole purpose of it, to help you get through adversities. What happens when you don't have that peace? What happens? Oh, what are we going to do? The thing is, we can't take care of that. How are we going to do this? Don't you see what's going to happen if that goes over there and this happens over? What's that? I can't believe these things. Just said to me in my ear, if you want to relax, I can help you stretch. That's what my hearing aid just told me. I can't believe it. She's listening to the message. I can't believe it. Wow. Talk about getting me off the course, right? I think those hearing aids are possessed. I don't know. but if you have that peace, that's what that peace is for. And it's not to be tampered with. When something happens, and I can speak from it because I'm living in that peace every day. I couldn't do anything that I'm doing if I wasn't living in it. Why? Because I'd be too concerned about everything else going around me. I'm not. I care, but I don't care. And that's a biblical way to live. Because if God's in charge, I'm not. And I realize that. So what's the problem? It's going to go the way God wants it to go. That's peace. That's perfect peace that our text is talking about. It's a perfect peace that'll help you handle and bear any burden or adversity in life. And we talked about that in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. And what's it say at the end? Be anxious for nothing. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Period. That's pretty simple stuff. Guard your heart. Peace guards your heart. It keeps you from becoming an emotional wreck. It keeps you from the carnal emotions that God took away from you when he made you a new creature. Do you understand that? All the fruit of the Spirit are emotions. They're given to you because when you were regenerated, all your carnal emotions were taken out, and he's given you new emotions, divine emotions, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it is. And those fruits of the Spirit have power far beyond anything our carnal emotions had. Did we love before we were saved? Yeah, but we don't love the same way now, do we? Were we long-suffering before? Maybe. We are now for sure. You understand? So because of that, peace doesn't just give you this wonderful feeling. It guards you against emotional meltdown. And how easy is that in today's world? And it doesn't mean that peace doesn't mean that the problem's not going to go away. Doesn't mean it's going to go away. It simply means God is going to give you the attitude to handle it correctly. That's exactly what it means. And that attitude adjustment, and this is a good way to put it, will generate a perfect peace while you deal with the problem. I told you, my car. That's a good example. Our text also tells us there are two requirements needed to attaining that perfect peace. First, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The word stayed on you implies a steadfastness, a calmness, and a quietness. I'll put all those words in your life. Steadfast, calm, and quiet. That means the eyes, the heart, the mind, they're fixed on God. That's all. That's what it's fixed on, not on anything else. When you pray in the Spirit, that's exactly what you're doing. You're supposed to shut everything out, and your focus is just on God. There's no thought if you do that. If you put your eyes on God, your heart with God, and your mind with God, there's no thought about anguish. And again, I testify to you that when that happened to me, I wasn't the least bit, I had no anxiety about it at all. None. I didn't think about, well, how am I going to get home? I didn't think about this. I said, Lord, it's your car. You want to burn it, burn it. That's true. And I did the same thing mowing the lawn. I was mowing the lawn. I took a break, had some water, and I started laughing. And I said, I'm mowing God's lawn. This isn't my lawn. Somebody some days, Carrie's grandparents lived in that house that I live in. It wasn't their house. It's not going to be my house. I was mowing God's lawn. So I called my contractor up and I said, put a cross on the side of the house. And he did. Now everybody goes by, they know it's God's house. Peace. Do you understand practicing it? That's the key. You got to practice it. And God gives you more than enough opportunities to do it. You just got to practice it. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm thinking of somebody in this church that's got a tougher life than I could ever imagine. But they're trying to practice peace in even doing that. And I think they're doing a good job. And I think all of us could do a better job at practicing peace than we do. We just have to get out of God's way. That's the key. Get away from him. Get out of his way. A mind stayed on God is anchored in the omnipotent sovereignty of God, period. Listen, I want to tell you something. You cannot have peace if you can't back it up. If this book cannot be backed up, every jot and every tittle cannot be backed up, throw it all away. If there's one contradiction in there, throw it away. If there's one lie in there, throw it away. I got news for you. You're never going to throw it away. Never. Because none of those things are true. None. Listen to what Isaiah 43:2 tells us about being anchored. Why we should be anchored in the sovereign God. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Do you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They told the most powerful king in the world, King, we're not going to worship your statue. And our God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to do it. How about that for peace? How about that for I care, but I don't care? And what happened? He walked in there, and who was with him? The Son of God. Does that not happen in your life? It should be. When you're going through anxieties or trials or adversity of any kind, is God walking with you? Do you see him walking with you, spiritually speaking? Do you feel his presence? Do you feel his peace? Do you feel all of Christ taking control of it? Or are you just, I'm doing it, God, and you're doing it. Okay, so we'll do it together. Synergistic. Do you have a synergistic God? Will you and him work together to work things out? Or do you have a God that you trust in, your mind is stayed on, and you have peace in, that even if I'm in that fire of affliction, I know you're there with me and it's going to be okay? Is that you? Take that home. Think about that. That's about the peace. That's what that peace does. It gives you the security of knowing that that peace is given to you because you've been justified. Your sins have been paid for. You're justified by Christ, in Christ. You have the peace. Do you claim it? And the way you claim it is you exercise it and you live it every day. This isn't just a little passing, oh, I'm at peace today because I don't have any bad things going on. No, that peace is with you every day. Because isn't Christ with you every day? It's unmovable. The reason it's unmovable, the peace is unmovable, is because his mind, that is, that he's talking about, is focused on Romans 8:31. How can anybody not be at peace with Romans 8:31? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. No, excuse me. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things, without exception, will work out for my good. My chimney catches on fire. Okay, we'll put it out. The house burns down. Matter of fact, my wife said that. She said, well, you know, you didn't have your chimney cleaned for many years. I said, yeah. And what happened when the chimney guy came in after 10 years of never cleaning it? Oh, he only found 3/8 of an inch of stuff in it. He couldn't believe it. It's God's house. It's not my house. And if it did burn down, okay, let's move on to the next house. It's that simple. That's also called, Jerry, not putting your tent pegs in too deep. Not your 10 pegs, your tent pegs. Okay. The second requirement in achieving perfect peace is found in the term because he trusts in you. Trusting in God simply means believing in what he says. And it's having faith that God will do what he promises. And what is the point of having this if you're not going to believe everything he says? You have to believe everything he says. Otherwise, it's sort of like I said before in Bible study. If a man is faithful to his wife 80% of the time, is he faithful to her? No. You can't give God part of yourself and believe in part of him and not all of him. It's not acceptable. To him, it's not acceptable. And Romans 12:3 reminds us that trusting in God gives us the faith to believe. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You have the faith. All you have to do is exercise it. So why is it difficult? Why is it difficult for so many believers to rest in peace? Think about that. Why is it difficult for you to rest in peace? The answer may be many believers don't trust in God because their faith is weak. Why is your faith weak? Not enough Bible study? Not enough personal worship? Personal prayer? Thomas didn't trust that Jesus had resurrected from the grave. Actually, none of the disciples did. They all ran away. They didn't trust that he was going to resurrect. Peter denied Christ 3 times because he didn't trust Christ to deliver him from the people if he admitted he was a disciple. He didn't trust him. And Ananias and Sapphira didn't trust God to meet their needs. They thought they'd keep back some of the money in case they needed it. They didn't trust. Some elect, some children of God find it difficult to rest in peace because they half trust God to help them. They half trust them. They don't trust them all the way. They think God will give them a hand and then they can do the rest. Synergistic. You and me working together for my good. These believers have spiritual trust issues. Do you have a spiritual trust issue with God? Take that home and think about that. So what do? People that have that, you're disregarding Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him and what? He will guide your path. Simple stuff. That's all it is to get that peace. These are the requirements. You have to trust in God. It's fair to say that when adversity comes knocking on your door, If you don't anchor yourself in God's word, listen to this, you're acting like a worldling. Did you know that? You're acting like a worldling or an infidel. You know why that's true? Because without trusting in God to deliver you, suffering serves no purpose whatsoever. Did you understand that? If you don't depend on God to deliver you in your suffering, there's no purpose to your suffering. The lost have no purpose in life in their suffering because there's no reason to do it. It's just happening to them. When you suffer, you're suffering for a purpose. You are in a state of progressive sanctification, and suffering is part of that to help you grow. It's the growth factor in peace. It's suffering. There's no growth factor in suffering without experiencing God's grace. Listen, if you're facing any kind of adversity and you don't bring God into the picture, you'll get through it. Look at all the adversities all of us have been through, and we're sitting here today. We got through it, okay? But if God's not in it, it serves no purpose. It's empty. It's only when you're suffering something that you bring God in, that you see him delivering you by giving you the right attitude, perhaps comforting you or lessening the pain, and doing that, you see his grace, and that helps you grow. That's the purpose of it. There's no reason for us to suffer except to grow. Suffering is nothing more than an opportunity turned upside down. That's all it is. An opportunity to grow. It's called the growth factor. It's going to be in my book. As a believer, you need God's help to get through this world. That's why he gives you Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying you, fear not. I will help you. You didn't get this far in your life without God, even before you were saved. Now that you're saved, look for that peace. You have all the equipment you need to grasp it. Use it, exercise it, and understand this, that the purpose in your life is to grow. You have no other purpose. And if you think there is, then it's flesh. God wants you to grow because he's growing you into his family. He adopted you, but before he brings you in, there's certain things you have to do in your life. He puts them in your life, and all you have to do is work them out. You understand that? Grow. And when you grow, he wants you to grow in peace. He doesn't want you to be anxious for anything at all. I just detailed, are you guys done? Okay. I just detailed in a very simple way the life of a lost person who has no purpose and the life of a saved person who has purpose. So what you need to take home today is, if you are truly saved, then prove it to yourself by living it, by getting that peace that you know that God has given you and using it in your life and sharing it with somebody else. And the person that suffers the most will be given the most to get over it. But they have to claim it. You know, you can have I saw this once where somebody, there was a winning lotto ticket for, I don't know, $5 million. Nobody claimed it. It went past the period, and then it went back in a pot. The same applies with God's word. It's there. You have the winning ticket. All you have to do is claim it. Take that home and do it this week. Do it for God's glory. Do it for peace. And do it to help you become a better Christian in Christ. Let's pray.